Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I am so happy to finally reconnect. As you know, many of you know, I've been out for 3 weeks, and doing this show that's off of my newly scheduled show for Mondays at 6, because I just wanted to kind of get back into the swing of things and catch up. I want to respond to many of the messages and emails that I received asking when I was going to return. And so just on a whim, I decided to do a show today. It's the first time I've been feeling well in several weeks. So I am amped on caffeine, as many of you have heard in my past shows of how I can be wired on caffeine. Here, I may be scattered because caffeine is giving me the energy, but it also has me, like I said, wired. Anyway, so thank you everyone for understanding. I was just so amazed by, during the 3 weeks while I was out, we had over 4,500 listeners. On the very last show, which was the True Happiness Part 2, which is totaling to almost 10,000 listeners within just the 6 shows that we've broadcasted so far. So I'm very happy to know that, because the very objective of the show is to provide a platform for those who are wanting or needing to be able to learn some stuff that can bring about growth and healing and evolving. So hopefully this has helped, and I always love to hear any feedback or questions so that I can get back to that during the show. And so today we are going to be discussing the red flag in life. And there's a reason that I chose this. You know, while I was away for 3 weeks, there were several things that I had experienced or observed that was hard to watch, because I saw some people that I cared for go through some stuff. And obviously, dealing with red flags is nothing foreign to, I'm sure, all of us, if not most of us. I myself have experienced things that have definitely gotten me to a point of being able to identify red flags much easier and much faster. And so what I wanted to discuss was the... just putting stuff out there in terms of what are the red flags to watch out for from others, what are our own red flags that we need to watch out that we are doing or that's within ourselves, and then some stuff of trying to understand maybe why we might put ourselves in a position of accepting the negativity or the red flags in our life, knowing that it's there, and then what are some of the things we can do about it. So this is going to be, I'm hoping to keep our show an hour today. Oftentimes, well, every time I plan to do an hour show and we go on to 2 to 3 hours, but I would love to discuss this, and then if anyone has any other questions or follow-up issues, we can discuss it in another show. Okay? So before we start, I also wanted to really plug this. This is very, very important to us. This is the Royal Benefit. We are having a Royal Unity Concert. It is our fifth Royal Unity Concert. We turned 10 years old. Royal is our nonprofit, the nonprofit organization that I founded that works with the most disadvantaged and high-risk youth in the Bay Area. You know, I hate to say this, but it really is what we deal with, and it's kind of the throwaway kids, the kids that most programs, the kids that constantly fall through the cracks and that get missed by either other programs, or there's lack of funding, or can't make it in regular schools. I can't describe it more than, because we work so closely with them, is that they truly feel that they're thrown away, and we have seen it. So we have seen miracles with the work that's come out of Royal, seeing the kids that have fallen through the cracks, it had no hope, that many of our kids have been severely abused or abandoned or neglected or witnessed the worst atrocities, and or has been part of it. And so Royal has survived 10 years despite the severe budget cuts, and we try to have as many benefits to keep things going, and we actually are so excited to celebrate 10 years. It's a miracle we survived through these 10 years with the funding that, or the minimal funding we've received, and we have served over about 2,000 kids and families and individuals. We also have a counseling center. So please support the Royal Counseling, the Royal Unity Gala. Please go to our website at royalpresents.org. We are having a beautiful evening of music and dining at a wonderful venue at the Fort McKinley in South San Francisco, California, and in the officers' ballroom. And we have a dinner buffet for those who would like to dine before going to the concert. And then we have just the concert option, and then we have a VIP option. So please look on the website. We have great, well, amazing musicians. We have Richard Bean, the singer and songwriter of Suavecito, the award-winning song. And actually this year they celebrate the 40th year of Suavecito. So we're very excited and honored to have him perform at the concert. We have wonderful bands, Los Cochinos, we have Mio Flores, who is a very respected and loved musician in California is putting together an all-stars Latin rock band that is weaving in many of the wonderful musicians here in the Bay Area. And we have, we're very blessed to have these musicians. I always say, you know, the best of the best with a big heart. We also have the Flow, which is the funky Latin orchestra, featuring Juan Escovedo from the Escovedo family and Anthony Blea. So we're very excited about that. And we also have Conga Compay that will be opening the show, and a beautiful duet with a father and son from the Gladiators of Rock. We have Lumbre, a new group that is emerging on the scene, as well as another new group that's emerging on the scene. But neither of these groups are new musicians. They are vetted and very talented musicians. The other group is Rumores. Am I missing any? I believe that is it, and I will fix that if I'm missing anyone. Very excited. Please check us out, www.royalpresents.org. And we really, 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 really need your help and your support. And if you can't come, please consider sending a donation. You can always do that on our website, on royalpresents.org or royalinc.org. Okay. So now we're getting back to a red flag. So, you know, what I wanted to do is kind of discuss first, what is the significance of red flags? Why is it important? Why is it important to identify? And, you know, this may sound like common sense, but some people just don't get that. But there are things in life that we either will come across that will harm us, or we may do things that are harmful to ourselves. And we need to understand why. We need to be clear be aware of what the reality is, because if not, we will repeat the patterns that will keep us in a very negative place. Negative place, negative relationships, negative feelings about ourselves, negative view of the world, negative view of others. So it's important that we are able to find the wisdom or get smart to be able to identify the red flags in life, in ourselves, in others, so that we can avoid having the negativity or toxicity in our life. Now, when I say that, that does not mean that because there's a red flag or there are red flags, then that's the end all be all. That's it. You just can't. If you're a healthy person, you're just going to drop it. You're going to cut it out. No, that's not what I mean. But it is important to know what the red flags are so that you know what it is that needs to be worked on, because it is important that we stay in a work in progress with ourselves, in our relationships, in what we're involved with. So just like in a needs assessment, we identify what our strengths are, just as we have to identify where things need to be fine-tuned. And in order to do that, we have to see some of the problematic areas, hence, in this case, red flags. Okay, so some of the things that I'm just going, you know, there's tons of things that we can discuss, and it can go on for a very long time. I'm bringing out some of the things that can be the basics, but yet, even though we know this, we can either forget, or we may not be as aware, or we may need to be reminded. So how we've broken it up is where for us to look at what are the red flags that we need to find, that we need to look at that's stemming from ourselves. What is it that we're going through? What is it that, where we're at that is a red flag that is stemming from us? And then the next part would be being able to identify the red flags in others, right? And then where may it come from? Where could some of this stuff come from? And then what to do about it? Okay, so this is just some of the basic parts. Again, please feel free to email me or message me or Facebook us if you have any comments about. All right, so one of the first things that I look at in terms of red flags, especially in dealing, you know, when working with my clients or anyone that I'm close to that's seeking some answers, is that first we need to look at what we are willing to accept. What we're willing to accept, what we're settling for, right? And if what we are willing to accept or settle for is it congruent with what we want and what we need? You know, what is said is that the healthier we are, the more we are able to identify what it is we need and what it is we want and what, and then being able to take the steps to advocate or work towards that. So with that, you know, what we are involving ourselves with, what we are accepting from ourselves or from others, is this congruent with what we are accepting and settling for? Is it okay? And so, you know, when you find yourself not being true to yourself or not coming from an authentic place, when you're afraid to be honest, when you're afraid to be open, you have an anxiety of what'll happen if you are yourself, in whatever situation you're in, whether it's a relationship or a work situation, when you are allowing yourself to be so far from being true to yourself, that's a red flag, obviously. And sometimes people are so used to accepting and settling for far less that they just think that's the way you're supposed to be in life. You know, there's many cultures, there's many religious views that really push sacrifice and humility and obedience. And sometimes that, depending upon the eyes of the beholder, that can be taken to a place where one may feel that they're supposed to live in misery, that one is supposed to be a good person. They have to struggle. And there is some shame when they can feel that they are working towards what they want, or there's a false sense of pride or superficiality if one is to do that. And the important thing that in everything that we do is that there needs to be a balance, right? So it's important that we are able to sacrifice with some stuff, just as it's important for us to honor and respect ourselves and what's important to us. And so, you know, what this is boiling down to is, are you in a relationship, are you in a situation where you just can't be yourself, right? Where you cannot speak your truth. And I'm one person that often says, it's, you know, say what you need to say. Say what's important, everything that's important to you. It's just how you say it that makes the difference, right? So, you know, are you in a relationship that doesn't allow for you to have an opinion? Are you in a situation where your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings are not considered? And if so, why are you letting yourself stay in that situation? Okay, so that's one of the big red flags. I think I've beat that to death. Let me look here. The other thing is, when you find yourself doing something that is in contradiction with your own beliefs or values, again, what's important to you, right? When you're doing things for the wrong, well, I'll get to that part later, but are you, have you compromised yourself? Are you doing this for someone else because you think that someone else because if you don't, you're going to lose what's important to you, whether it's that person or that situation? And so what that can come back to is, you know, are you doing things for the right reasons or for the wrong reasons? And many of us can get so caught up in rationalizing what we're doing or why we have to do it, that we end up losing ourselves. And so that goes into the other part of red flags. Are we in a situation where we have lost ourselves? Right. I'm kind of going all over the place. I put notes for myself, and I'm not following these notes. The other thing is, are you settling for far less? And what I like to do is put it in context. Some people are so used to settling for far less that they don't even realize they are. So what I often say is, think about someone that you love, whether it's your child or your partner or your parent or your best friend or someone who's significant to you. So having that person in mind as a frame of reference, what would you want for them? Because you love them, you would want the best for them, obviously. So, you know, what kind of relationship would you want them in? What kind of situation would you want them in? And I say that when there are those of us who can really struggle with kind of knowing what is healthy in terms of what to want or expect for ourselves. So again, frame of reference is someone that you care for and love. What would you want for them? Now, can you transfer that into what, can you have that same type of perspective and expectation for yourself? Okay, let's see. You know, are you in a situation where you are feeling this constant desperation, where you are feeling constant anxiety and stress, where you're constantly obsessing over it? Are you in a relationship where that you are, again, feeling that you are you obsessing over something? Are you feeling a lot of anxiety? You have far less peace than you do stress or anxiety. So, you know, sometimes people, again, kind of get so caught up and they'll say, oh, you know, well, relationships are hard, or, you know, sometimes growth is hard. And that's understandable, and things take work. But when you're in a place where you are obsessing or stressing more than that, that's the red flag. Is it top heavy? Another thing is, are you doing things against your character? I mentioned this earlier. Have you compromised your values? Have you compromised your beliefs? Have you heard yourself say in the past, I would never do this. I would never do that. And next thing you know, you find yourself in a situation where you're doing the very thing that you say that you would never do. Now, sometimes if you put it into perspective, sometimes that can make sense. And sometimes that can even be healthy if when you said what you said comes from more of a naive or ignorant or less mature place, right? Because sometimes when you, as we mature, we learn more of the realities of life, and that sometimes things take more compromise. The part that I'm speaking from is that, is it something where you have compromised so much that you just don't like yourself anymore? That you are just, you don't even recognize why you're doing what you're doing, that the goals and the objectives you had in your life, you're too far from that now. And kind of all of this ties in together and creates us just really losing ourselves. And I'm sorry to say this, my sisters, but females have a tendency to lose themselves more. And that can stem from the fact that, we are kind of wired to be nurturers and caretakers. So a lot of times we can get lost in this world of trying to make someone feel better or take care of someone, or, when you feel love, you want to let them feel the love back, and so you want to give and give. And that is a beautiful quality. But what can happen is when you give so much of yourself that you're not yourself anymore, or you don't have what's important, you don't have within you what's important anymore. People have given up their careers. People have given up their education. I've had people who have gotten into relationships where, they want children, but their partner would say, no, I never want children. And they've had to make especially for females, if they make that decision, after a certain age, there's just no turning back and they can't have children. And then if the relationship doesn't work, they have huge regrets. I've come across that quite a bit. I've heard people, struggle with the fact that, I put my life on hold. I tried to be the person that they wanted me to be or they expected me to be. And, and they just ended up taking me for granted, or that it was never good enough, or they just wanted more. So it is important that when, you look at, there's a reason for why, there's a beauty that is within all of us, which is what attracts other people, right? And it's important that we maintain that or hold on to that. There's that, because there was that reason why it attracted others to us, or what they saw in us or what they wanted in us, and then we can quickly lose that piece. So that's kind of the triggers to watch out within ourselves, right? Let me see if I said most of what I wanted to say. Well, and when you change yourself, because change is also important and a part of life, but taking a look at if you're changing yourself because it's something that you want and is coming from a healthy place, or is it because you feel that you need to change to make it fit, even though it's kind of, it doesn't really fit for you, but you'll do it to make things fit, to make your partner like you more, or want you more, or mold yourself into something that is actually not coming from an authentic place, right? And I always say, if it feels good, then you know that it's right. And if you are more confused, or you find yourself stressing out, or finding yourself kind of dealing with some, you know, feeling sick to your stomach type feeling, or feeling more anxiety, then you know that it's not really coming from a good place, right? It's coming from maybe more of a fearful or insecure place. Okay, so that's the stuff to watch out for ourselves. And the reason I started off with red flags coming from our own self is because it's important that we take responsibility first, right? You know, there's a lot of people out there that think that all we have to do is change the other person and we'll be happier. And sometimes there are those who feel that they will have to change so they can be happier in that relationship because they don't want to be alone or whatever. Whatever the case is that we take a look at our own stuff first, right? Because at the end of the day, if or when things don't work out, we have to deal with ourselves. We're left with ourselves. We can be angry. We can blame the other person. We can feel like a victim. And many of the times it can be valid. The problem is when, you know, at the end of the day, if you're stuck with all this blame and resentment, you know, what's it going to do for you? Right, there's a natural healing process and grieving process, and hopefully with all of that stuff, it gets us to a smarter place, right? Okay, so again, it's important for us to look at ourselves first. When I am supervising and training my staff of therapists or people who are in the helping profession or volunteers, my biggest focus to train them in training them to be effective with others is for them to look at themselves first, is for them to work on themselves first. Just I have to do. I am very humbled when I work with my staff because a lot of times I will say, well, you know, this has been my stuff too. This has been the journey that I've had to take, and this is the lessons that I've learned from it, right? Which is a big part of the growth that I've experienced in life, because we all, you know, we're not born knowing everything and a state of perfection, although some, you know, theories will say you are perfect in every way. I can't say that because life is just a work in progress and we all make mistakes. And I just don't think anything's perfect. Okay. So, what are patterns to look out for in others? What are red flags to watch out for so that we are smarter, right? Because we, you know, when we're involved with people, sometimes, and we won't know till after we're hurt or after the fact, sometimes, you know, there are blatant things in our face, and that is really telling that this is something pretty negative or toxic, and it may be from people who either do have malicious intentions or they may not have malicious intentions and they don't know that their behaviors are destructive or harmful. But, you know, because of whatever issues they may have, the situation is destructive and harmful for you, right? So I'm going to quickly list some of these things. I don't know if it's going to be in order, but repeat it. I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize if some of it is repetitious because I just threw together this list and didn't have enough time to organize it. Okay. So here are things to look out for. Are there a lot of words with minimal actions, right? Because reality is words are easy. You know, are there a lot of actions but no words? Are there a lot of words with no actions? And are there actions with no words? There are some people who just kind of say, well, you know, actions speak louder than words. But they also won't verbally commit to stuff. Which kind of gives them a safe way out, right? So sometimes I've heard someone say, I've heard, you know, couples say, well, I'm here. I mean, just because I'm not saying that she's my girlfriend or he's my boyfriend doesn't mean that, you know, there's not something there. I just don't like the word or I just don't want to have the label. And I don't believe in the label, you know, those kind of things. So the reality is make sure the words are congruent with actions and the actions are congruent with words to back it up. I've been active with the acting profession, and there is a beautiful lesson that I had heard over and over again from Gene Shelton, and that was, you know, to be a great actor, you know, it's not about trying to act out the words or act out what you think you're supposed to act out when you read the script. She would simply say what you mean and mean what you say. And that's, you know, that directly translates to life. Say what you mean what you say. I like to add the other component of also do what you say what you do. So there's a part there of saying, doing, and meaning, right? You know, there's a lot of things in life that we may come across where, like I was mentioning earlier, where we are hearing parts of it or experiencing parts of it where we'll see some behaviors but no commitment or verbal commitment. We'll hear all verbal stuff but no behavior to back it up. Or sometimes there can also be, and this is more from the higher level manipulations that I've seen, experienced, and, you know, treated and worked with, is that sometimes the words can be there, the behavior can be there, but there may be an ulterior motive there because the meaning may not be fully there, right? And sometimes that's the tricky part, is you just kind of have to see in time. Right, because then there's other things to look at. You know, there's other red flags to consider when this is an example. Someone is saying, you know, I love you, I want to be with you in my life. You know, you're very important to me, and they spend a lot of time with you, right? So that's, you know, spending time with you, the behaviors are there, saying they love you, you know, the words are there, but yet you don't have access to the important people in their life, you're kind of isolated from their world, or you have never been to their home, or you've never met them, like I said, met the important people. You kind of are secluded or removed from the other stuff. So those are where I say sometimes you just kind of have to look at other red flags to figure it out. And what does it mean if, you know, you're seeing someone and they're not introducing you to their friends or bringing you around their kids, and yet they are saying a lot of stuff and spending time with you. So again, kind of there's different components to look at that, right? You know, the person that you're dealing with, do you observe that they are easy, that they are, it's easy for them to lie or misrepresent? That's a big trigger for me. So that's a big red flag for me that I, and you know, it's hard to find someone or find people in life that can be completely honest. I really try to live my life as honestly as I can from day to day and look for that amongst the people that I'm close with or I'm involved with. Yet no one is perfect, and I have to recognize that. But if you see someone that's very, you know, they can easily lie about something, you see kind of no remorse or conscience about how they can give a story or misrepresent something, that's a big red flag. When you know that they are not coming, they don't seem to have the integrity of honesty. So that part is that. You know, are they being controlling? Do they want to hold you down? Do they want to keep you from your friends or the outside world, or be your one and only? Is that coming from, you know, kind of in the initial stages of dating, you kind of lose yourself in each other anyway. You kind of become absorbed in each other and you become each other's world. But when it starts to get to a place where arguments happen because they don't want you to go out with, you know, your best friend or see your family, or just kind of wanting to isolate you for themselves, that's a big red flag. That's a lot of control that you're going to be having to deal with in the relationship, and that truly is going to lead to losing yourself immediately. You know, it's important that, you know, that when they, how can I say this? I'm going to reframe what I was about to say. It's important to look at things, if things aren't checking out, right? Are things making sense? Are they saying something, but you're observing something else, or you're hearing something else? Are they able to follow through? If they're not following through, if they're not being consistent, it's very important to look at, because there's a lot of times that things can be covered up, you know, the lack of follow through or things not checking out with just kind of pretty words, right? Oh, but you know I love you, or you're the only one that I want to be with, or you're the most important person in my life, but things just aren't checking out. You know, it's important to see, again, the words component versus what's backing it up. You know, this is another part that's important, and a lot of people don't like to accept this, but, you know, looking at whether someone could be with you because of ulterior motives, or are they benefiting from you materially, financially, status-wise, attention-wise, are they benefiting from you, and you may not be benefiting from them. It's more one-sided, right? You know, look at the authenticity of things. If things seem to, you know, could there be ulterior motives? And if there could be, can you level out the playing field so that you're not losing out as much if things don't work out, or you're not going to lose out or lose more than the other person? You know, can it be a leveled playing field, right? You know, there is a concern when you are with someone who will constantly say that they want to keep things private, or secret. They want to keep things a secret regarding you, or they're constantly talking about that they're a very private person. So, you know, there is a difference between being a private person and being introverted and not kind of being out there and, you know, blaring out your life to the world. But when there seems to be a lot of things that are being withheld from you, things that they are intentionally trying to keep from you, they can tell you all kinds of stuff, but then in other areas they're trying to be secretive, that is something to look at, right? Let me see. You know, and look for patterns. Look for the negative patterns, because the reality is everyone makes mistakes. Mistakes are understandable. But watch out for the negative patterns. Let me think of an example. There are so many examples, I can't even think of just one. Well, just like, you know, this is a lighter example, but someone who makes promises, you know, okay, I'll be there, or I'm going to take you here, I'm going to take you there, and they constantly flake. Or, you know, anything that is a consistent pattern or even, you know, infidelity or cheating. Although I do believe that people can change and evolve, and you know, it's important that we see as much as we can get to a place of being forgiving and compassionate and open and believing that people can change. It's also important that we're smart enough to see that there seems to be the patterns of it not changing, despite the words of saying, oh no, it's going to be different, it's going to be different. And that, you know, we don't turn a blind eye to that. You know, there's that saying, you screw me once, shame on you. You screw me twice, shame on me. And obviously, you know, people may make mistakes more than once. But definitely with the pattern, are they screwing you far more, screwing you over far more than not, right? Is it consistent? Is it a pattern? How many times, someone had said, I had heard someone say once, when someone was saying, you know, this was happening and he did this and he did that and he did this, and the other person that was being told that, he said, you know, how many times do you have to be slapped in the face before you get it, right? And this is kind of a pattern of what I've discussed in the past, of kind of, we will repeat the same things over and over again unless we learn the lesson. You know, and we don't learn the lesson if we stay blind to the red flags. The red flags is there for us to recognize and to follow up on and try to do something to create change or make things better, right? And a lot of good stuff can come from that, because, you know, we can grow together. We can deepen our relationships from this. We become better people, you know, ourselves and our partners. The hope is that we can find someone. No one's going to be perfect, but you can find someone who can just enhance the better stuff from you, or that can. We are enhanced by being with this person, and that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy all the time. You know, arguments can create growth. I always say, though, when there's arguments, try to avoid hitting below the belt, because that creates more stuff, more toxic stuff. Anyway, so, you know, there's that. You know, be careful about someone who is always saying, you know, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And then when you kind of move on, they try to pull you back in. And then you kind of get back together, and then they do the whole I'm not ready again. It's a push and pull, what I call it. And, you know, many of us truly, we have been in the position of feeling like we're not ready and getting into something. But when it is a constant, when you're dealing with it, and you're finding more anxiety, you're finding yourself more depressed because the person you're dealing with is doing this push-pull thing, I'm not ready, but then trying to treat you like they, well, not treat you, where they receive all the benefits of what comes along with you, then that's something to look at. Are you accepting scraps, but you're giving your goods? There was a saying that I had heard early on, and I'm sure many of you have heard it too, is that, you know, why buy the cow when the milk is free, right? So it's important that we have a sense of honor and respect for ourselves, so that we are not put in a place for being taken for granted, and people being able to benefit from us without having some sort of mutual exchange in a fulfilling, beneficial way as well. Okay, let me see if I have anything. Another piece is dependency. You know, are they with you because they need you? Are they with you because they are dependent or they're afraid to be alone? And, you know, there's a saying that someone had once told me that she said that was very important to her. And the saying was, you know, I'm going to try to remember this correctly. I love you because I need you. Not that... Wait, let me see if I'm saying that right. I love you. No. Okay, here we go. I need you because I love you. Not that I love you because I need you. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I need you because I love you, versus I love you because I need you. So that's something that we can talk more about if anyone has any questions about, but really try to digest that and what that means. And a lot of that is, you know, have you grown closer? Have you learned to depend on each other because you love each other? Because you've developed that trust and vulnerability, allowing yourself to be vulnerable because you love each other? Or do you love them because you are needy at the time or desperate? You know, I am going to quickly go into a break, and then I may extend a few minutes because there's a few more things I want to go through. So take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Have you always wanted to make a difference but weren't quite sure how to do it? Royal, or Realizing Our Youth as Leaders, Inc., is a nonprofit agency dedicated to preparing youth for life and leadership. Royal was created in response to a great need for providing effective services for the most disadvantaged and high-risk youth who are consistently falling through the cracks. Royal has been successful in reaching the most challenging kids in the community with their innovative, creative, and therapeutic approaches, serving youth who have experienced significant abuse, neglect, abandonment, and living life through harsh conditions. Royal needs your help. To help sponsor a child and support the hard work and mission of Royal, visit their website at www.royalinc.org. That's R-O-Y-A-L-I-N-C.org. Or call 415-643-7117. That's 415-643-7117. Royal, helping our youth.
Back. Sorry, we had to do some technical playing around to extend the show a little bit more because I'm not done. And I wanted to make sure we go through a couple more things. I'm going to continue to continue this show on Monday to wrap stuff up. There's a lot of stuff that we can still discuss, and maybe I'll have it a little bit more organized by that time. A couple more things. One more thing. Or maybe I mentioned this already, but looking at seeing if there's a lot of broken promises, right? Are there far more broken promises than kept promises? Okay. So that's kind of where we're going to end that. Now, what is it that keeps us involved in these in the negativity, or allowing the toxic stuff, or allowing the things that are in our face, that are red flags, and I'm going to just list them. Maybe I might expand on some, but definitely one is low self-worth, low self-esteem. The other is, you know, there's some shame and guilt that we, which leads to, you know, low self-worth and self-esteem, but some self-shame and guilt. And this could be because of, you know, things that are done to us, or things that we've done to others, or things that have kind of been planted in our head as we were growing up, or experiences. So shame, guilt, you know, sometimes there are people who are just such caring, loving, trusting people that they just don't see it coming. They don't see the red flags in other people, because it would just behoove them to think that someone could be that way, right? There are people that I'm very close to that are just, exceptionally beautiful souls, and just kind of get the rug pulled out from under them because of caring and trusting others, because they themselves are very caring and trusting, and not being able to believe that someone can be malicious or lying or cheating to that extent. They're not like that, so they wouldn't think that others are like that. You know, when we have experiences ourselves that have been traumatic, or traumatic or negative, we may be or drama filled. We may be familiar or comfortable with that. That may be more comfortable to us. The red flags that we see may be more comfortable to us than actually healthy stuff. Right, so it fits. It fits better for us. We may want something different, but it's almost beyond our belief or it's too far out of reach that we can to where we can have faith and trust that things can be different, right? So we will accept what's familiar and comfortable. You know, when we have experienced a life or childhood where there is a lack of unconditional love or healthy experiences, right? That true, unconditional, healthy love is not something we're accustomed to, right? So, you know, being with someone who has, you know, every red flag in the book is just a reality for some. You know, sometimes it could be because, you know, there may be a mental health disorder that one has, whether, you know, they have depression or an anxiety disorder and they are used to feeling sad or depressed or anxious or stressed, that because they have a chemical imbalance or because they're in that mood or anxious state, that they can't really recognize the red flags because they don't realize that the red flags could be causing more depression or anxiety. You know, there is a difference between a chemical imbalance that creates depression and anxiety where there is no stressors that have triggered it, and they're just kind of in that constant state, versus someone who has depression, they are depressed or anxious or stressed because they are involved in situations that are that's creating sadness or creating more stress or creating more anxiety. So it's important to look at that. Is it chemical imbalance based? Is it organic? Or is it situational, right? So it's important to understand that part. You know, there is a big part of red flags that we will accept because of, I don't know if people are all familiar with the term codependency, but earlier I had mentioned, you know, being careful of or seeing the red flag of someone who may be very dependent on you. And if you are one that likes to be in relationships where you're in control or you are where you have people dependent on you, then you may be a codependent. When you are in a state of codependency, if you are rationalizing the negative behaviors of others, when you are in denial of the negative behaviors, when you're making excuses for them, you know, and codependency basically is, you know, dependency is where someone depends on you. Codependency is when you need someone to depend on you. That's your power. That's your control, right? And so accepting a lot of the unhealthy stuff can stem from codependency because it may meet certain emotional needs or it may be something that you're just accustomed to. Okay, there's a lot more that we can even talk about codependency, but we'll leave that for now. You know, there's also something to where sometimes people who are in relationships that are full of red flags and experience a lot of drama, what happens is that when we are in a lot of dramatic situations, we actually have adrenaline rushes. And adrenaline rushes can actually create a sort of addiction. So we become addicted to the adrenaline rush. That's why like the Jerry Springer shows became so popular for so long, or, you know, a lot of the, what is this, even fighting or, you know, sports stuff, you know, because our adrenaline will rush when we're seeing stuff that's pretty highly stimulating, whether we like it or not. But it creates an adrenaline rush, and then our body starts to search for that and need that. So be careful about becoming addicted to situations because of your maybe subconscious or unconscious knowledge of needing those adrenaline rushes. Okay? You know, and then of course, you know, many of us will continue the patterns, the negative patterns in our life, that it's continued because of our own unresolved issues, right? Unresolved issues are things that we haven't addressed, things we haven't admitted to, things we've been in denial about, things that we don't know what to do, but things that just haven't been looked at or worked on. Okay, so we're gonna finish this out after all. I think we are. So let's go through this list of what are the things that we can do about this, where we have identified our own red flags within ourselves. We've observed and identified the red flags in others. We're understanding a little bit more of, you know, where it comes from. Why are we allowing this to be? Why are we allowing ourselves to be in this position? And so the next thing is, what are the things that we can do about it, right? And this may sound very simple, and some of it may not make sense yet, but there is an element in life that in order for us to move forward in almost anything, there needs to be a certain energy of forgiveness. A forgiveness of ourselves and forgiveness towards others. And the reality is that we cannot forgive others unless we learn how to forgive ourselves. And we cannot forgive ourselves unless we can forgive others. So, whatever the case is, whether it's the chicken or the egg, both things need to happen. And but you know, there is a work in progress for me to be able to forgive some of the traumas that is hard for me to still look back on. But then, you know, where it can be put in perspective for me is the thought of, you know, or thinking to myself, I just couldn't be who I am today or do what I do if I didn't go through that stuff, right? I may not be crazy about the person or even like the person that was involved with the traumas, but there is a sense of acceptance and even gratitude that I had to go through that in order to get to this place, because the reality is I truly think I'm great with many of the things, and even appreciate the fact that I can recognize that my imperfections are there, and part of my greatness is the fact that I can acknowledge what my imperfections are and want to continue to work on it and fine-tune it. Right. So forgiving self and others, being able to process any of these issues or feelings and thoughts with people not only of who care about you and who support you, but people who are also objective, people who can challenge you. You know, I'm a therapist. Obviously, I'm going to say going to a therapist can be very beneficial because you can have someone who is neutral, who's not involved in your personal life, who is who may have some experience and a different set of perspective from the experience that you know, they've had working with many people and knowing or studying or focusing on the human mind and behaviors. Or sometimes people who don't really care for the therapeutic process, but having a spiritual advisor can be helpful. So having someone who can be objective is important, as well as people who do care for you. You know, learning from your lessons, that is the biggest thing. You know, I've had shows that has been the repeated theme. I've had a show in itself of learning lessons. But, you know, one of the things that I say is if we are truly honest with ourselves and in what we are doing and what, you know, we are accepting from someone else or a situation, then it's important that if we make that decision to stick with it and to stay with it, that at the end of the day, if things don't work out, you do not focus only on, you know, they're evil, they're bad, they're this, they're that, even though that could really be the situation. But we also take responsibility for what we did. What was our part? You know, were we aware? Did we see the signs? Did we choose to ignore the signs? Did we allow ourselves to do things and accept things that were not, that wasn't okay? You know, that we wouldn't want for the people that we love or we care for. So again, it is important that we can, at the end of the day, after we're we've cried and we've let out our rage and anger and hurt, that we can also look at what can I do different next time, right? Or what is it that I need to look at so that I can have a different experience in life. You know, are you yourself going, do you repeat your patterns? I talked earlier about seeing the patterns of the other person are, you know, the patterns speak for itself, but are you yourself continuing with these unhealthy patterns, right? Let's see. You know, push yourself beyond your comfort zone. A lot of times people will want to stay in situations as unhappy or as unhealthy or as destructive as it is because it's comfortable or it may feel safer. So in order for us to have change, we really do need to push ourselves beyond our comfort zone. And that's just growth, right, in everything. I mean, I remember when I learned addition, I didn't really care to learn subtraction afterwards, or I didn't like long division or long multiplication. And I definitely hated geometry, but, you know, I've gotten past the point where I was able to get through those classes to finish school, but so we learn more, you know. We can't do that without pushing ourselves. You know, there is an importance in that because so much of our topic is so negative and focusing on the negative. You know, look at what's the negative in what you're doing. Look at the negative stuff in what they're doing. Yet living in that state, living in this state of negativity, looking for what's wrong, can create so much paranoia and such a negative energy that truly it combats the very fiber of living a fulfilling, loving, happy life. So there is an importance that we can weigh out the difference between being able to have a positive outlook and hope for the future and being smart to say, you know what, this stuff is not, it's not in congruence with what I want in my life. It's not healthy for me. It's not good for me. I want to work on it. And if the work is not going anywhere, then, you know, you may have to make a choice, right? And even at the end of the day, worst case scenario is it's too hard to leave, even though you want to leave or you don't think it's good. You know, what we can always fall back on is, you know, I'm going to stick this out. I know this stuff is not good, but I really hope I'm going to learn some lessons out of this at the end of the day. And I've been in that position many times, and I have supported people I love and care for who have made those decisions of knowing and experiencing and accepting some negative stuff. And then, you know, at the end of the day, feeling very hurt. But yet, when we have that perspective to begin with, if we both eyes are open and taking responsibility for our stuff, then our healing process flows more. It is healthier. It can even be a quicker process. So, you know, again, it's kind of being real with ourselves, even the fact that we're making a decision, knowing that it may not be in our best interest, but we're still making that decision anyway. And that's taking control and taking responsibility and taking power over your life. You know, I always say being able to have a healthy self-respect and to where you can be able to set limits and boundaries, not only for others, but even for yourself, right? There is something very healthy about being able to implement self-discipline. You know, again, which will push you beyond your comfort zone, which can build character, build strength. Setting limits and boundaries, knowing what is okay and what is not okay, and not allowing many things to cross those limits or boundaries. And if so, if that's happening, what are you going to do about it? You know, will you process it? Will you try to think of a plan of action or try and work on stuff to make things better? Right. I always say that it's very important that we also put ourselves in a position where we also allow our trust to be earned, right? Just as we often feel that we also need to earn trust from others. So sometimes people will give trust blindly and then have the rug pulled from under them. And that also goes hand in hand with some sense of denial. And some people really may have that sense of denial because not just because they really don't know better, but because it feels better to believe what they want to believe or believe what they're hearing that sounds good. So the denial part is important, and that kind of, again, goes hand in hand with trust being earned. You know, watch out for your own need or want for immediate gratification, right? Sometimes we will accept things because it just feels so good at this time. This is where a lot of times, you know, addiction to people can happen, with addiction to sex or addiction to getting complimented or gratified. You get hooked on those endorphins, the nice feelings. And it's an immediate gratification, but are you compromising what's healthy in the big picture for having an immediate response small picture? Right? So that's something to look at as well. You know, what I always do, and I also tell my you know, my clients and others that I'm close to, is just really, as simple as this sounds, is make a list of positives and negatives. And not only, you know, you don't only go by the number, like one side has 15 and another side has 45. It's not only by the number, but the intensity or the gravity of each item, right? So give that its own a different value as well. When you look at the list, what feels stronger to you? What feels better to you? You know, consider whether, you know, if you are working hard to make this relationship or making something work well, are you seeing a benefit? Are you seeing growth? Versus you constantly working hard and it's really, you're not seeing any changes. Okay, let me see it drop down. Can you identify throughout the process how things are helping you? You know, sometimes we learn the lessons after the fact, but can you be aware enough to find the lessons that you're learning while you're going through it as well, right? Are you learning stuff about yourself while you're going through this? Are you learning stuff about people, about the world? So being aware of lessons, not only after, but during, and how all of this stuff can help you, even in other aspects of your life. You know, and I said this earlier, but if you decide to accept things, be clear in your mind that you are accepting it, and also be clear why you are accepting it, why you're doing it, why you're in it. What are your own objectives and goals? What is it that drives you and motivates you to be in this situation or relationship? What are you getting out of it? Because as selfless as some people can make themselves sound to be, or people who are used to feeling that they are more in a helpless situation or are usually victimized by people or situations, you know, there is always some sort of goal, objective, or experience that one is chasing. You know, sometimes people will want to stick with something regardless of how destructive it is or how negative it is, because it will prove to them that they are more worthy or more valuable if they were able to get something that seemed almost impossible. For example, getting a partner to marry you when they say that they never want to get married, or they're the type that say, I'm not the type that believes in a monogamous relationship, and you are one that believes in a monogamous relationship, and you will feel the duty, or not duty, but you will feel a drive to prove it, to prove to yourself that you're that important to where that person will change for you. Now, can that stuff happen? Absolutely, people can change all the time. But are you doing it more because you need validation for yourself, because you're lacking something in yourself, or is it because, you know, things just feel right, you want to give it a chance, you're seeing, you know, great things, you're experiencing great things, and are willing to take a chance? So those are, again, kind of things that you have to separate out or discern. Let me see. You know, I always say with the positive parts of stuff is that being able to find gratitude or appreciation in our experiences. Sometimes it can be as much as, well, I won't say much as, but it can even be brought back to a place of, you know, identifying the wonderful things about you or what you've learned because you've been hurt. And listing that down, listing what it is, the traits or experiences that were so horrible, but what did that bring out for you, right? There is a gratitude and appreciation that we can all take from in that, you know, and I think I'm going to have to create another show that's going to be based on this. So I'm going to end it with this, is balancing out living smart and being wise with both eyes open versus living in paranoia, right? Versus living and looking for what's wrong with a glass half empty versus glass half full, figuring out the balance with that. Okay. All right. So, you guys, I have completely gone over my goal to have an hour show. I think that I have said main points. I've kind of been scattered in how I said it, but I hope that for all my listeners, you get the point, you get the message. My hope is that, you know, this just kind of helps us stay or reminds us, because I'm sure many of us know this, just reminds us of the things that are important, right? So that we can have a wonderful, beautiful, fulfilling, great, happy, positive experience in life. And that is what I hope for all of you. I send my love and energy to and blessings to all of you. Thank you for all of your support. And I will reconnect with you on Monday, my Monday show that has been switched from Tuesday to Monday at 6 p.m. Feel free to email me or contact me if you have any questions. And again, love to all of you.